Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called His church through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with three commands that sum up all of the Scriptures. We speak this every Sunday and we will never stop, because it is who we are as the Heart of Christ Church, that we love God, love others, and go as Christ has commanded us. Amen? Amen? Because in those three commands, all of the Scriptures are summed up, but we must avail ourselves to the Word of God. That's why we preach, because in the preaching of the Word, we are hearing the words of life. For no man has the words of life, say Christ Jesus, who is the Word of life, and the church says. And to that we turn our attentions this day. If you would, open your Bibles, and you folks out there on internet land, it's going to be up on your screen. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 1 and read through 16. And today I have entitled this sermon, Do Not Fear the Winnowing Fork of God. How many of you knew God has a winnowing fork? Or what it's even used for? It's amazing because, you know, we read the Scriptures and you know, certain things come out to us, and other things we just kind of go right by it because, you know, how many of us use a winnowing fork anymore? How many of us even know what one is? And it's like, yeah, okay, well, we're just going to bypass that and, you know, we can get the rest of it. Well, today I want us to look at this, and it's in the middle of a text that seems kind of strange. But there's a reality here that God is trying to get to us. So we're going to begin in the third chapter, first verse. And it begins with John the Baptist. And it says, Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, We have Abraham for our father, for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? But Jesus answered and said, Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descend as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, as we look at these words and we draw to ourselves the reasons that Jesus is saying what he's saying here, I have to look at this and say, okay, how does this all fit? And where does the winnowing fork come in? Well, if you remember, verses 1 through 11, we're talking about John, who he is and what he was doing. And I need to ask you a question. In John's forgiveness of sins, in John's baptism, was it once and done? I got a couple people nodding their heads, no, maybe, not sure, don't want to put myself on the line here. No, it was not. They had to keep coming back, just as they would have to go back to the temple and sacrifice another animal. Every time they sinned, they would have to come back to the waters to be baptized again. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of us have to go back to the water of baptism after being baptized in Jesus Christ? No, not one. Why? Because something changed. What was that thing that changed? All righteousness, this is verses 13 to the end that we read, all righteousness is being fulfilled. Where? In Christ Jesus. He was baptized once for all of us because he was sinless. He did not sin. And has he sinned? No. So our baptism is in him who is sinless. John was not sinless. John was simply a man, just like you and I. Jesus is the man God. Can I get an amen? Amen? For he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and we come unto him. And the scripture here then comes back to us. And this is what I love, because John's talking to the Pharisees, but he's also talking to everyone that has to keep coming back to him. And he says from verse 12, please look at verse 12, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn. Now, a couple of things we need to note here, and that is understanding what is being talked about. We have to understand what threshing is. How many of us know what threshing is? Yeah, we have an idea because we've seen it in the historical books. And, you know, I was going to bring my flail because I have an old flail. It's actually, I don't know how many years old it is. The thing's probably from the 1800s. And it's a long pole with a bigger pole on the end and a piece of leather between it. And you would beat the grain with it to knock the grain off of the shocks. But you see, that's only one of the ways that they would do it. They also had other ways that they would take the grain off of the stalks, shocks, because we need to understand, Jesus here is talking about wheat. Guess who the wheat is? Us. We understand that because we also know that later on he talks about the wheat and the tares, okay? Well, I'm not going to get into that right now. In fact, I'm not going to talk about that at all today. I just want to deal with the wheat. Because that's what Jesus is dealing with. Who's the wheat? Can you say me? Let's try that again. Who is the wheat? Can you say me?
Me.
There you go. Don't doubt it. Know it. We tell you these things that you may know. We are the wheat. We are that precious grain that God wants to bring in. But that grain brings stuff along with it that God doesn't want. Well, what are you talking about? I'm wonderful. No, you're not. Neither am I. We are sinners saved by grace, and that's the truth, and we all know it. God has to get the chaff off of us. And in so doing, that's what I want to talk about today. Because God here, he's coming, and he says his winnowing fork is with him. JB, put up the winnowing fork and the sled, please. Right there, oh, nope, go back. That's okay. That is a winnowing fork. Do you all see that thing there on the side? The fork has broad, flat forks and a little bit of space between them. Because as they would run that flat board over it, had a mule or an ox in front of it, pulling it around on the ground on a threshing floor. What's a threshing floor? Don't put the other one up yet, JB. It was a large flat area of stone, anywhere from 50 to 150 feet, depending on the size of the town in which it was built. And it was always built on a flat rock. Does anybody know what was on top of the mountain where Abraham went to sacrifice his child? There was a threshing floor up there. And that's why the temple was built there, because that's God's threshing floor. That's where we would go. That's where the people would go to take their offerings, because God was winnowing his people, and God is going to winnow us as his people. And I want us to understand, so many of us, let that picture up, JB, so many of us think that all the bad things that happen to us are because the devil's coming after me, and I hate the devil. Well, you know what? Some of it ain't the devil. Some of it is you. Suck it up, cupcake. We know it to be true, don't we? How many of us have a bad attitude every now and then? How many of us say and do some things we shouldn't say and do, and then blame it on somebody else? How many of us get ourselves involved in something that we shouldn't have got ourselves involved in, and then we try to make all kinds of excuses? Believe me, I've talked to y'all. But, Pastor, there's only one but, and you're sitting on it. We need to understand that God knows us, and he loves us, and he knows that goodness that's deep down inside, and he wants to bring that out. He wants that pure grain of wheat. He doesn't want all the trash that comes with it. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants everything about you, but he doesn't want your sin. He does not want your chaff. He wants to get rid of it. He wants to get it out of here. So God has said in his Bible that his winnowing fork is with him. Don't fear the winnowing fork of God, okay? But we need to understand something. Before they used the winnowing fork, you see that other thing? Go back, JB. He went ahead. You see that board there? Do you see what's in it? There are holes in there, and there are rocks beat into those holes. And that has to be drug over top of the wheat and the shocks. And as that horse or as that ox or whatever they're using pulls that thing, it knocks the grain out. Now, how much fun do you think that is in the life of a Christian to have this thing drug over your back? Doesn't sound like fun, does it? Do you know the Scripture tells us that it's going to happen to us, each and every one of us? That threshing sled has run over us so many times. And Jesus told us from John in 16:33, he said, and you can write that down, I'm not going to turn there. Write it down. He says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. But I do want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 14. The book of Acts, chapter 14. Acts 14 and 22, and I'm sorry, Pete, I forgot to give you that one. It's just one verse. And this is, again, this is, you know, God's talking to us. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the people who are going to believe. And he says to us in verse 22 from the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, strengthen the souls of the disciples, encourage them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to understand something. We're not going into the tribulation. We're going to go through tribulations here on earth. We need to understand that there are tribulations that we as the church are going to go through before the time of tribulation, the great tribulation, starts. Because God is purifying us. He is allowing this thing to be drug over. And how many of you in life sometimes feel like, I'm just being beat up and it's got to be the evil one doing something to me? But in reality, if we're willing to understand the book of Hebrews, does it not say in the book of Hebrews that we are to understand hardship as discipline? That when these things come, the first mindset of a believer has to be, okay, Lord, are you talking to me? Have I done something? And if the answer is yes, then correct it. Because in so doing, you're removing the chaff. But if you just blame it on Satan, if you blame it on Jesus, if you blame it on Satan, you're saying, but, and it's sticking on. And guess what they do with grain that the chaff won't come off of so easily? They just keep running that thing over it. Does anybody know what that thing's called in Latin? The Romans brought this thing into the land, okay? The Romans brought this into the land while Jesus was there and before. It's called a tribulum. We get the word tribulation from it. It's called a tribulum. And that tribulum is drug over us time and time and time again because God is taking the grain out of the chaff. He wants the grain. Now, that's where Jesus isn't the one pulling that. Jesus isn't the one doing that. That is happening because God knows us and the things in life are going to come at us, all right? But Jesus is the one with the winnowing fork. And he is there winnowing. Now you can go to the next one, JB. He is the one winnowing. And if you look, there's two people over here and they're winnowing. What do they do when they winnow? They take that wheat and they throw it back into the center. Throw it back into the center until it breaks up. And then finally, they're just tossing it up. And as they're tossing it up, the wheat drops straight down, but the chaff blows away. The heavy stuff doesn't blow far, but the light stuff blows even further away. And that's what's going on in your life and in my life right now. Jesus knows that there is goodness in each and every one of us, and he wants that goodness to come out. And as we are walking with him through all of this, and these things continue to befall us, we need to understand Jesus is already there. He knows this stuff is going to come. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Because I need us to understand, folks, it's not to beat us up. It's literally to make an improvement. You know, I have folks who will tell me, you don't have to pull the chaff off because that's called whole wheat. Wrong. Whole wheat is simply wheat with the bran and the germ and the spermatheca in it. Okay? Processed or refined flour, they pull out the bran and they pull out the germ. That's why it's nice and pretty white. It's also bleached. Okay? That's your enriched flour. But God wants all that goodness in there. So therefore, he's got to get rid of the chaff because you don't eat the chaff. That's junk. That's garbage. It's got to go. God's not into taking garbage to heaven. How many of us get to take anything to heaven? Not one of us. There's never a U-Haul behind a hearse. Now, I know there have been people in this world who were buried in their Cadillacs, who were buried in, you know, glass coffins and all. Folks, that stuff is still in the ground. It ain't going nowhere. In fact, your bones are still there. What goes to heaven is the goodness of each and every one of us. That's it. That's all God wants. And he wants us to get rid of that other stuff while we're here. So in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, he says this to us. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see, God understands that if we let that chaff in us, if that chaff is allowed to stay in us, we're going to constantly doubt. We're never going to improve. We're going to constantly have this stuff that's dragging us down and making us worth less. Because I'll tell you right now, if the chaff doesn't come out of it, what is done with it? Because the grain will actually begin to rot after a period of time. So they would take that grain, the hard grain, the grain that was not quite ripe when it was harvested and it couldn't be separated. And what do they do with it? They feed it to the pigs. I want you to think about that. They feed it to the pigs. The grain that isn't so good, they feed it to the pigs. That's not who we are. We are God's precious, and he is bringing us into the barn. He is bringing us into the storehouse. He is bringing us into what? The kingdom. And as you and I understand what God is doing, he's taking away all that stuff, and he is the one with the winnowing fork because he knows when we're ready. We may need to be thrown back in under that thing for a little while. How many of you feel like you've been there time and again? It's like, Jesus, stop throwing me in under there. You ain't ready. He doesn't want to feed you to the pigs. He wants you to be ready. He knows what we need. Do you trust Him? I trust Him. And He says, you're going to have trouble in this life. You're going to have trouble in this life. And this is why, to bring about these things. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, God loves us, and He knows what we need. And we need to stop blaming some of this stuff on Satan and start getting our heads right, because that's exactly what John was talking about there. He said, you know, you brood of vipers, who told you? Well, now do what's right. And that's exactly what is happening here. Jesus moves us forward. How many of us like to move forward in discipline? If you do, you're a masochist. And I don't know many of them, okay? But we do want to be, how many of you want to be right in the Lord? Yeah, amen. It's a hard work. And God says, I know you can't do it alone. I got to be there to help you. And sometimes I got to pick you up and throw you back in that thing because you ain't ready yet. You ain't ready yet. How many of you ladies out there have baked a cake and the time went ding and you opened it up and you stuck the toothpick in and it was still mushy in the center? You got it out and iced it, right? No, you put it back in the oven. It's not ready. How many of you guys barbecue on the grill? And in 3 hours, this should be done. But you stick the thermometer in there, and instead of saying 145 degrees, it says 130. Ah, that's close enough. Get it out and feed it to your family and give them botulism. I won't ask, Miss Eva. God's not going to take us out until it's time. And He knows when that time is. 1 Peter 1:3-9. Blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with inexpressible and full of, with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as an outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. You see, God loves us so much, He doesn't want us to be fed to the pigs. He's going to allow this to keep happening in our lives. He loves us so much, and it's not to harm us, it's to purify us, it's to get all this junk out of our lives. How many of you still got some junk you're getting out of your life? Wow, I got a church full of saints here. Nobody raised their hand except the preacher. Well, you ought to be up here preaching this to me. Because the truth of it is, none of us have made it through yet. And even when we do make it through on this side of the grave, there's more yet to come. Because He will make us whole and holy once and for all. But we're a work in progress. And as we are that work in progress, we need to understand something. You know, God is removing this chaff. He is bringing us to that place of this inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, which will not fade, reserved for us in heaven. And we're protected by the power of God through faith. All these things that are going to come at us, they're not going to kill us. They're going to separate the chaff. They are going to make us whole and wholly His. You know, I think about this. You know, I wanted a perfect wife, and I got Lynn. And that is right. And she and I have been a work together. Are we there yet, sweetie? 40 years, and we're still working it out. How about these young people that can't make it 2 and 3 years? That's nuts, isn't it? Because it's a good work. It's a good work, and it's a hard work. Some of you have been married. How hard is that work? It's a full-time job. And I'll tell you, the next 40 years are going to be even better. Because we have the Lord working with us. For the first several years, it was just her and I working on each other. And the nerves were growing thin. But after the Lord started working on us, we realized we're the problem, didn't we? And all of a sudden, she was a whole lot better than I thought she was, because, whoa, wait a minute, that was my junk I was projecting on you. I'm so sorry. And praise God, he was working on her too, because she accepted it. She accepted that apology because she knew God was working on her. You see, it's something we got to do together. You know, everybody, look at that pile there. Everybody's in this thing. He doesn't do one grain at a time. He does the whole thing. We're all in there, rubbing on each other, getting smooshed around and crushed, and we're wondering, oh my goodness, you bumped into me. Don't touch me. You're breathing my air. We've all heard it. We've all seen it. Come on, people. Would you realize we're all going through the same stuff? Nobody's special. We are all going through it. And what is happening? This is the part that I love. And we forget this. You know, we talk about the forgiveness of sin. Now, once we've confessed something and we've repented of it and turned from it, this is the part I like about this idiom that is being shown to us here. Because when God separates the chaff from the wheat, what does he do with the chaff? Let's go back to verse 12 in the book of Matthew in the 3rd chapter. In Matthew, in the 3rd chapter, in verse 12, he says this to us from the last part. Because if you remember, I stopped. I didn't read that whole verse. It says, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Brothers and sisters, when that chaff is burnt with unquenchable fire, how much of it do you think is left? None. Because we all think about, you know, well, it's going to be burned up. Well, what happens when something's burned up? The fire goes out, doesn't it? And sometimes there's a little bit of stuff around the edges that didn't burn. You know, we all go camping. We all see campfires. There's ash there, and there's, you know, you can go get that stuff. Some of it's actually charcoal because it hasn't all burned up, and it'll burn again, right? No. God says, when I have rid you of this, I am going to burn it up with unquenchable fire. It is no more. Would you stop going back to it? It isn't going to be there. We need to realize that when God has forgiven us from this, when he has separated us from us, it is gone. If you're going back to get it, you got a problem. Because now you've become a tare, in my opinion. Okay, that's just Pastor Rich's word. Because a tare is something that is poisonous, and we become poisonous to ourselves when we keep going back and picking up that chaff and trying to put it back on. It's been separated from you. And don't take somebody else's chaff upon yourself. It's been separated from you. Let it be burnt away. Because once it is burnt away with that unquenchable fire, it can never be brought back into existence. Why do we keep going back? Jesus says, I love you so much, I don't even want you to remember this. I don't want you to remember this anymore. You know, we say, well, God's forgotten it. No, he hasn't forgotten it. It says he'll remember it no more. Why? Because it's been burned up in his eyes. It's gone. It is gone. But you and I also need to understand that God is in this for something far greater than we could ever hope or dream. We don't understand a lot of these things. God is going to winnow us. He is going to bring out that goodness that is in us. Why is that so important to Him? Last scripture for today. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 17 through 23. Verses 17 through 23. God is doing a work in us, and it is a powerful work. It is a work unto righteousness, a work unto holiness, is a work unto fullness. What do I mean? From verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. You and I are being made whole and holy. Remember, Jesus paid the price. Jesus is the one who was baptized for all our sins, and He takes them and they are no more. For when He went down into the grave, He left that stuff in hell where there is unquenchable fire, and that's where it stays until this very day. Let us stop picking it up, for we are now becoming the fullness of Christ, the glory of God, the pure wheat, the pure gold, refined much that is worth much. And in God's eyes, He has given us to be the body of Christ. Therefore, there is a value and a worth in us. The chaff is gone, and we are that precious commodity which will last forever and ever and ever with Him in heaven. And the church says, as we understand what God is doing here, the winnowing fork of God, whenever something bad comes your way, and how many of us have bad things come our way every day of the week? Folks, take it upon yourself first. Is there anything here for me to learn? Lord, show me, teach me, walk with me. Admit those things that are and move from them. Because if not, that tribulum is going to come right back around and we're going to go through it again. But not to harm us, but to purify us, to prepare us for this very righteousness that is coming, that I just read to you, that the God, the glory of God, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. When I look at that, what does that mean? As you are coming to this understanding, right now, I'm teaching you something that I need you to hang on to. When we are ignorant, when we are dumb, we do dumb things. Can I get an amen? But when we are brought to enlightenment, when we are now made aware of some things, we need to change, don't we? That's called revelation. And it's one of the most amazing things. Our world works on an intellectual basis. We work on a revelatory basis because we are now kingdom-oriented people. What does that mean? As God reveals to you His truth about you, your life, and the things that are going on with you in this world, we become purified because we submit to that revelation and we allow it to come over us. Just like that tribulum comes over each and every one of us and it does its work, we then are changed through the knowledge of Christ. The world just lets that thing run them over and they never change. No matter how much Christ tries, they will never change. But may we remember that we are different because we have accepted the love of God, the grace of God that I spoke of back in 1 Peter, that I speak of here from the Word. You remember, this is not my word, it's His word. God loves us so much that He wants each and every one of us to understand that He is preparing for us the ability to be the full body of Christ, whole, holy, the goodness of God, full of grace and glory, no chaff. Now, how many of us are going to get there before we die? Not a one. But the process is worth it all. Can I get an amen? Because He is continually purifying each and every one of us. And the amazing thing is, I want you to look around. Because the people that are sitting around you are the people He's given you to go through this with. To encourage one another. Because we're all going through the pressing. Each and every one. Jesus went through the pressing. Okay? Where did He go? Gethsemane. What is Gethsemane? It means the great pressing. We're going through the tribulum. The tribulation of now. There is a great tribulation coming. How many of us want to be here for that? Yeah, I didn't think I'd see any hands on that one. Because that tribulation is going to be horrible. What we're going through now are simply the growing pains of becoming as Christ, that His fullness, that we are becoming filled all in all. And it's all being worked out. Go all the way back to verse 19, in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. He knows who you are. He loves you. And He is going to do what He needs to do to help purify you. And sometimes, just sometimes, we only have to go through it once. Can I get an amen? Because once is enough. But how many of us are Pennsylvania Dutch? Lord, throw me under that thing again. But may we remember, we're going through this not to harm us, but to bring us a hope. And that hope from Romans, as we just read, does not disappoint. For in the end, we are purified, and we are whole, and we are wholly His. And He will bring us into His storeroom, which is glory with Him. And in His name be praised. Pray with me. Father God, I thank You for all the things that each and every one of us are going through. And Lord, may we see that's the reality. That as we're going through this, we need to praise You as we're going through this bad stuff. And Lord, right now, there's a lot of bad stuff happening in our world. We see it. We hear, you know, all this good stuff that's coming, and yet people are screaming against it. That's because, Lord, the bad has become so real that folks don't know how to operate without the bad. But Lord, may You show by the strength of Your might that You will not quit on anyone because You know their worth. You know their goodness. Lord, we submit ourselves to You, to Your winnowing fork, and may it be a quick process, and may we be found whole and wholly Thine. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.